Welcome to the Schlubcast, the podcast for schlubs by schlubs. A podcast about video games and schlubby hobbies like video games. We're still hammering out this intro, I swear. We're going to nail it next time.
It's only been years.
We don't know
it's
anymore.
It's only been years. Welcome back to the Video Game Corner of the Schlubcast. I am Danny.
Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Zach.
And on this episode, we are going to be discussing January's... Was it January?
Yeah, January's over.
Oh, man, where's the
year?
Yeah,
it is.
It was January's video game for our book club-style video game discussion.
Of the month.
The Schlub Club.
That whole line of text is the title.
Yes. That was the intro complete. This month, or last month, rather, we played a little game called Inscription.
Inscription.
By, what was it, Daniel Mullins?
Yeah,
games?
Daniel Mullins.
And, yeah, basically him, but...
Well, it's his vision, but he definitely had a team. It was published by Devolver, wasn't it?
Yeah, Devolver published it. That's how, that's how any of us heard about it. Cause
true.
We're keeping a close eye on Devolver. They're always knocking out games.
Yeah.
This will be our discussion on Inscription, so...
Big spoiler alert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nothing but
minor spoilers.
If you have any interest in playing Inscription but don't want to get spoiled, turn this off, throw it away, throw your phone into a lake,
and
fish it out later
there you go.
Once you're done playing the game, or dig it up in some woods.
Whoa.
I don't know what that is.
This game is definitely one of those games that is best enjoyed unspoiled.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the games we'd be like, oh, spoiler alert,
mm-hmm.
Halo Infinite, Cortana.
Done, yes.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, whatever. But no, this is definitely a game that you want to go in unspoiled.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did. It was definitely very rewarding. So, yeah, if you're even remotely interested, we'll let you know that it has cards in it. It's a card game. If that has you interested, then... go in blind because it's an experience.
Yeah, it's very good.
Anyway, Inscription. It's a card game.
Yep.
So like it's so hard because where do you even begin?
It starts off as a card game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't though. It starts off as a card game about a card game.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
the very first thing you see is the
text on the screen.
Yeah, what was his name? Carter?
Luke Carter.
Luke Carter.
Saying, oh, I found this. I better pop it in
see what's on this thing. And then it loads up. You see, the CRT, lines,
mm-hmm.
the scan lines flash. And then the game, you see, some weird game menu.
Yeah.
Which was the hardest intro, I think, because it took me a little bit to figure out that menu.
Why you couldn't hit new game?
Yeah.
I had to that one, yeah, was a little tricky.
Click. Reminded me of the old, point-and-click games where
mm-hmm.
you have to, multiple steps just to get through a menu. Anyway. Yeah, I guess we'll just work our way through the acts of the game and just discuss it. But before we do that, just what was everyone's overall thoughts? I mean,
I put it as my game of the year.
Yeah.
So I hated it.
Unbelievably overrated.
I put it as my number two game. So I also hated it.
It was still very fresh for me to put it on my list. I put it as number six, I think,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But it is very good. Very an experience to...
sight to behold.
Yeah, of 2021, there's no reason to not play this game unless you're very afraid of things. If you're really averse to horror, don't play this game. But
and it's very accessible because the card mechanics in it aren't too obtuse or complex.
No, not too bad. And it does a very good job of making it very easy to just see what they do by clicking on it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and it doesn't demand a lot of time because there's a lot of moments where you can just put it down. It's not constantly.
Mm.
Dragging you back in,
mm-hmm.
I guess you're just returning because the story is so good, and then it's not very long either, so
mm-mm.
definitely check it out. But it is the places this game takes you to were so unexpected.
Yeah, I would agree.
That we'll just get into it. So yeah, you start off as a weird roguelite style card game. Once the game
mm-hmm.
begins, and you're
mm-hmm.
Kidnapped by that you don't know his name. Right.
Some
at the beginning you don't. You can just barely see his eyes, and mm-hmm. they kind of swirl when he talks, and it's ooh, that's spooky.
And it was at that point where I was if this is the entire game, I'm good. Because
yeah.
this is really good.
That was solid in itself.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, the style, I liked how creepy it felt, and how
mm-hmm.
you could get up from the table and look around the room, and
mm-hmm.
and you never see the person at the end of the table
mm-hmm.
even when you walk around him.
Go right in front of him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get some, outlines, and you're you're not quite, you could just be some crazy Wildwoods, crazy man, I don't know.
He's forcing you to play, a D&D card game.
Right.
That's some cool aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
Atmosphere.
But... I really like how they flesh out his character, like, mm-hmm. throughout the entire game. He actually became my favorite character throughout the game.
How they flesh out Leshy?
Yeah, fleshy.
It like, the longer you play, the more you realize that there's not, it's not what at all what it seems. Mm-hmm. And so you have more details reveal itself about that guy. And it, like, with the little bosses that you face in the first act, it's like he puts the mask on that flips. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yeah, he, like, between the Skinner and the... mm-hmm. And the woodcarver.
Yeah, yeah, and then the fish guy and the miner. Like, it just felt like some really, like, deranged...
madman shit. Dude. Yeah. Yeah,
insane. And
but, like, yeah.
The mechanics themselves were really cool. Just the four-wide card thing. Because, I mean, I've played Slay the Spire and Hearthstone and...
Have you ever played Gwent?
I have played Gwent. Okay. It reminded me a little bit of Gwent. It's, like, it's locked.
It has, like, the lanes.
Mm-hmm. And then Monster Train. That is a similar thing where there's lanes and only a certain amount of cards can go in a lane.
Okay.
So that was familiar, but it takes, like, that sacrifice mechanic where the cards themselves are currency. I've always liked card games that use the cards as currency instead of just some random other currency. Yeah, although, like, there are tokens.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And that's the thing is that, like, I feel like, and we'll get into this later, but, like, a lot of, like, nothing is terribly too original about the mechanics themselves, because how can you, like, because, like, it's been, like, the card games have been so,
there's only so much
iterated really on with over cards. The years already. So, like, I saw Leshy's game very similarly to, like, Yu-Gi-Oh,
yeah,
but on
yeah.
a very smaller scale.
Yeah, that's true.
With how the sacrifice mechanic works, mm-hmm. And the Bones kind of plays into that as well, almost.
Right.
Because I really don't know what Bones would really represent in terms of card games, because, like. Because it double rewards you for sacrificing, basically. Right, so it almost seems like an extension of Yu-Gi-Oh! If anything, the Bone seems like its own unique card game tactic, mm-hmm. like mechanic, which I could give it that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember, Zach, when you were playing it, you you asked me, or you were saying, like, I don't know what it is, but that stoat, his face is getting a little more square. And I'm like, huh, isn't that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I just love how the story progresses very, like, not, I don't want to say
very naturally.
Yeah, it's like very slowly, but not bad in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just lets little things come out that you notice, and then you figure it out later on. And
yeah, because, like, it's very organic, because, like the story is told through the atmosphere. There's no one, like, monologuing at you about this or why this happened. Not all. Well, I think it happens maybe, like, once or twice, but, like, only for the sake of, like,
doesn't, like, shove it down your throat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, you just notice things that, like, hey, like, this card is talking to me.
Yeah, like, right
when this card looks a bit different.
The card starts mm-hmm. talking to you. I'm like, okay, something's going on here.
Yeah, this card is also talking to me.
And then the mechanic of how every time you die, there's, like, the picture that's taken,
mm-hmm.
and then you turn into a card.
Yeah.
And, like, every time you die, like, there's a little bit more added on to the game itself. Like, it's
kind of, like, progresses through dying.
Yeah. Which is cool, because, like...
I never felt, like, stuck in mm-hmm. the game. Like, how some card games are, where if you don't make a good enough deck, like, you just aren't going to progress. Where mm-hmm. with this one, like, you'll eventually unlock something that'll help you get a little bit farther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to mention, because you mentioned, like, walking around the cabin and stuff. Mm-hmm. I loved all those, like, little side puzzles.
Yeah, little puzzles. Yeah,
cool. like the combat puzzles. I like mm-hmm. I liked you, like, using the eye to figure out how the clock was supposed to be going.
That was,
like,
really cool.
I mean, like just the idea of, like, gouging your own eye out was kind of bonkers.
Like,
I mean,
chopping your finger off or ripping a tooth out of your
mouth. Yeah, because the first you ripped the tooth off, I was like, oh, it's 1 point. Yeah, why not? Like, if this is what's going to win me the game, then yeah, let's do it. And then, like, mm-hmm. You just take some pliers and rip your own tooth out. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Oh.
Shit.
Oh.
And then, like, just that level of creepiness throughout, and then, like, the little events you get to on the board where it's like you sacrifice your card and the people are hungry. And
yeah, on the campfire, yeah.
It's kind of risk-reward.
The mycologists mm-hmm. are really like, oh.
Yeah, and how close or how far are you going to take it with your cards? And, like, you can combine different cards, but you have to destroy other ones from your deck. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was
How they linked all the game mechanics into, like, lore-friendly, mm-hmm. like explanations and, like, emphasis feels really nice. Feels like a very complete package.
Yeah. And then I just like, I wish more games would, or more card games would do it where you could just, it'd probably get really busted quickly, but if you make your own card like that, like in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I made the card for, of me where I died, the death card, and I called it, like, some dumb asshole or something on it. And I forgot about that card, but then it came back. Like they persist throughout the game, and I made it like a 1-3 with Death Touch, the Death Touch equivalent, the poison thing. Mm-hmm. And that actually is the card that helped me beat the first act. Yeah, because when you get to the moon fight,
you can poison it.
Yeah, I one shot the moon, and that was very satisfying.
I actually didn't think of that. I beat the moon like through health.
Oh, nice!
Because what I ended up doing was I buffed up a Mantis God, and I just let it run havoc on it.
I just like that. There's the, I wonder if it's the same for everybody, but there's that point where your deck gets so strong that you just kind of like snowball through the rest of the phase. Like it feels slow progression, and then suddenly it just
bursts forward. Yeah,
it kind of happened with me. I feel like the trick to most of like to progressing a lot is having really good, like the sacrifice cards that don't cost anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, those making are good.
Giving them like really busted abilities really kind of helps a lot.
And really, like
winning,
having some card game knowledge going into this does help a lot. Like learning that you can't just win a game with a deck full of like three cost sacrifices. Yeah, like the game very much like does rely on like having the smaller cards like in good order so that you can actually like naturally ramp up. You can't just like throw down grizzly bears every turn.
Right. Yeah. And then when you get past the last of the bosses before you like face Leshy himself in the cabin, that was such a creepy moment where you're like walking up to the cabin and like you're getting to the point where you are yourself, and it's just such a like that is such a insane meta thing. I'm like, man, where's this game going? It's like getting so like it's like fourth wall shattering on its own.
There's a lot of that throughout the game.
I mean, like even Like just the point where like when you get to like to Leshy's third life in the final boss, and he's like, you know what, I hate this moon. Mm-hmm. It looks cool. It does a lot for the theme, but it doesn't provide any value. Like when he said it doesn't provide any value, like that's when I realized that he was aware of the card game. Yeah. Like the game is aware of itself. Like
I love that. It's like awakening. It's becoming.
Yeah. All the bosses in that game are super cool. Mm-hmm. Like all the mechanics were awesome. Like I had a lot of trouble with the first two. And then after I beat the angler, I'm pretty sure, well, minus like a couple bosses in the second phase, like the undead bone lady, I've pretty much beat them all like first try.
Yeah.
Especially in the last phase.
But it never felt like unsatisfying.
Right? Yeah, no, like they were all fun though. Like it was like
it was still a challenge.
Yeah, and it came to a point where I thought I was going to lose, but then I figured it out. And I'm like, oh wow, I'm actually going to win now. And it just felt cool.
Yeah, the angler and the bone lady and the second thing were the two hardest for me. The angler with the freaking chum and the sharks. That was so hard.
Where you like you can only like attack one bucket, or else if you attack them all, you're just screwed.
Yeah, I want to say my hardest was actually probably at first was the prospector.
Yeah,
because like I would get like an amazing like team out in the first wave, and then he's turned them all to gold, and I was like. I'm dead now. I can't sacrifice these for blood. I'm dead.
You see, that was the moment where I'm like, I'm dead, and then I drew my some dumb asshole card. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Hold on. Bring it back.
But yeah, then you get to the second act, where it turns into like that overworld Mario.
I think that was my favorite one.
I don't want to really move on to the second act yet, because I think there's still more to talk about the first act, how it ends. Like, when you get like the roll of film for the photograph.
Oh, yes, you're right. I forgot. I skipped
you're in that room.
The very first, like, you're exiting the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, that was also a very meta moment, because like, so like, you manage a way to defeat Leshy. Mm-hmm. And you're finally put in the room where like you're normally dead, like you're making your cards for yourself.
Just a bunch of dead bodies.
You look in the corner; it's all of your previous dead bodies.
Yeah.
You can actually see Leshy's card on the wall when you take the picture. Mm-hmm.
The fact that you had to like I was stuck in there for so long. So I'm like, how am I supposed to get out of here? And then you actually had to like start a new game.
Yeah, that was that reminds me of like Kojima stuff, or like plug in the second controller, or like the game pretends that it turned off.
It's very real world stuff. Yeah,
it's just making you do things that you wouldn't think you would need to do while playing a game.
Like there was another game I played. I forgot. I think it was called like This Is Not a Game, where there was a lot of like menu like puzzles as well. You had to like open up the menu, and it gets really meta that way. It's like you have to actually like turn off the sound before like a puzzle will continue. I love when games do that, when they start getting that like self-reflective.
So sometimes I like it, sometimes I get really freaked out by it. like Ghost in the Machine stuff hits me on a different level.
Yeah, the game's gonna get you, Mike. Sneaking up on you. But yeah, then we see the first footage, right, of Luke Carter. That's when that first happens.
Yep. It breaks away when you start the new game.
And we realize that we're not actually playing the game. We're watching Luke Carter play the game. And as herself, I guess.
Yeah, like the game has us kind of like role playing as Luke Carter the entire time,
and so he's just some like hard YouTuber. Opens up packs, and then he finds like Of Inscription, and that's all super meta too, because apparently a lot of those cards are from Daniel Mullen's other games,
which we found out in the ARG. Like, as the first time viewers, like we just think that they're just like random things that he just like made out just to like, just to make dialogue, but then we find out that no, these are things that he created.
Yeah, like. There's such a deep universe if you just start digging into it. But yeah, so when the footage first started playing, there was a brief moment where I'm like, I wasn't sure if I liked it. Because FMV in video games always comes off rough to me. Like, where actors, literal people, are in a game. Because there's such a disconnect of, like, the game versus the person. Like, if... I mean, like, you see, like, a CGI person, and then you suddenly see, like, an actual human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did it a little bit in Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
Yeah.
But that was behind so many filters, you could barely tell it's an actor.
Yeah, it was, like, you kind of could tell, because it was a little smoother than the actual characters, but, yeah, you could just tell they did it because they didn't want to, like, render all that stuff.
And then there's like more of a risk if like the actor isn't good, where you're like, it starts to get a little cringy. But then once I realized what the game was doing, I'm like, okay, I'm into this.
Like, that's how it tells the story, because it's...
And like, I almost want to say, I'm sorry if you interrupted, you're good. I almost want to say that, like, because I agree with you, like sometimes like it kind of like takes away from the game, especially like if the actors aren't like the best, I guess.
Yeah.
But I feel like that kind of lends itself to some credence to this game, because like you're just watching some amateur YouTube card opener man be cringy in front of you. So like the cringe is just added to, like added flavor to it.
He's just a schlub like us.
Yeah. Luke Carter is just one of us.
He's just one of us.
He was.
Yeah, true.
He was. Rip. But he was like the little videos, like those individual video files, that was such a cool way of doing that, and it just made me more interested. It gave me like Blair Witch vibes, like found footage,
which like I hate that stuff, like because like that's like that like that's like the ghost that adds to the Ghost in the Machine stuff to me, where it's like the second I'm playing a game and I see some full motion video stuff, I'm like, I'm watching a snuff film.
I'm gonna see a man die.
Yeah, like I'm gonna watch someone die in front of me.
Man's gonna die on film.
Yeah,
and he did.
He sure did.
He certainly did get murked. Yeah,
but it adds a lot to the creepiness, and I think that guy, that actor who played Luke, was very good.
He was.
Yeah, no, he did
a very good job for what he needed to do, and
just like they spent a lot of time with his card opening stuff just to make like the normalcy before it gets weird. That's such a good way of telling the storytelling.
And it creates like such a mystery of what the game is actually about. Because when I was watching these, I'm like, "What is going on? Like, what's happening here?" And then the little like cryptic things would come up, and I'm like,
"Yeah, like the
should I write that down?" Yeah. Like when he wrote down like the coordinates for the floppy disk, I'm like, "I feel like I'm gonna need this later." Like they're putting way too much emphasis on this.
And when he went to find the floppy disk, that reminded me of that like I forgot what it's called like. Something Hornets, Lost Hornets. I forgot what it is. It was that Slender Man, like, ARG YouTube thing that happened, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Where there was, like, hundreds of videos of this channel, of this guy who was, like, hunting down...
Slender Man.
It was never explicitly stated as Slender Man. It was just some, like, creepy... Some cryptid. ...type thing, but it was so crazy because, like, the guy took it very seriously and, like, comments would, like, try to figure out, like, clues, and then there was a secondary channel that communicated to that channel back and forth, and they're like, oh, this guy's, like... It was Marble Hornets. That was a... So that reminded me of that, because it's like very, like, in the moment, like this guy's actually just digging up a floppy disk and like cool puzzles with all that in real life.
It, like honestly, the whole like I don't want to jump too far ahead with the ARG, but like I really want to see Daniel Mullen's next game, because I'm sure it's going to have another ARG aspect to it.
Oh, probably.
And I don't know if I want to participate in it, because I don't think I'm that smart. But I do want to watch it as it unfolls.
While it's happening, just like be in that Discord and see all this craziness.
Just watch it happen in front of you. Yeah.
But then there's the second act, because then Luke Carter puts in the floppy disk, and then it turns into this game, which is like a prequel to what we were seeing earlier.
Like, almost like the original Inscription game.
It's what the game was supposed to be, basically.
And so, it's like this open world, like Mario World style, like overworld map where you go to different locations. And
it's like an RPG almost.
Mm-hmm. And then, so the card game drastically changes, where now it's a deck builder rather than like a roguelite.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, all the bosses were very fun, all little mini bosses. The puzzles were cool. The bone lady for me was the hardest.
Yeah, she was rough.
But I'm curious about how you guys felt, where I stuck to the bone mechanic the entire time through. For some reason, I could not wrap my head around the gem.
Oh, yeah. I love the gem one. I used the gem and the bone one together.
Nice. Okay.
I didn't touch any of the robots.
That's wild to me.
I painted that as me just being obstinate and like, I'm used to the bones because it's from the first
All game. I know is bones. Yeah. That's all I'm going to know.
It's what I was trained on in this machinery, so I'm going to use that for the rest of the game. And I just did that. Yeah. And it made it harder for myself, I think, mm-hmm. because I think the other cards are kind of good, are probably more powerful.
That's how I was, too. At first, I was like, I just want to stick with the bones because they're cool. And then I didn't want to do the Leshy stuff because I'm like, well, I already did that, so I want to try and like try the new stuff that the game's offering. Right, and yeah. I was having trouble. Then once I started integrating the magic stuff, mm-hmm. it was so fun.
That's actually surprising to me because I found that the rubies and the magic stuff was very limiting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you're dependent upon.
Yeah, like you have to play a card that gives you the mana for it, and yeah.
you're hoping for a good like card sequence, like RNG, right. basically.
Honestly, that part reminded me almost of like Magic a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that was a reference to it because they're called Moxes, and they're like they're the rubies, or Mox Sapphire, Mox Ruby, Mox Emerald, or something like that.
Yeah.
The fact that it took up a lane. And like, if you didn't match your colors correctly, you were kind of SOL. Like, you really needed to build your deck either around a single color, maybe two colors, if you're feeling. Which is like, I guess, is also a callback to Magic. Like, mm-hmm. you wanted to stick to colors,
right?
Because otherwise, if you tried going too far into your color diversity, your mana is gonna be screwed up.
But then there's no like fetch cards. There's no cards that look for other cards for right. you, so made it a little harder. I mean, the decks aren't that big. It's only like 20 cards.
There's a
decks,
couple cards that were like that.
If you did the magic area, like you did get some cards that would give you both like two different mana sources.
Okay.
Which is really nice. Which did open that up to me like later on, because I didn't do the magic guy until he was my third. Mm-hmm. What do they call them?
The creators or something.
Yeah, like wardens or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, like, because once I got those, I was like, oh, okay, like, mm-hmm. I see how this is supposed to work now. Right. Like you're actually not even supposed to have these, like, just the Moxes in your cards. You're supposed to run these guys.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Have these be, like, your dual lands, basically.
Yeah.
It was cool that they had the different stuff too, like the, mm-hmm. the game started getting a lot more depth with that, so a lot of variety for people.
Of the four though, I ended up liking the robot mechanic the most, and probably because it reminded me of Hearthstone a lot, which like I really liked the idea of like the steady like mana growth.
I think that's why Act 3 was my favorite part.
Me too.
Felt really familiar to Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. And actually a little bit of a Monster Train too with the with the like currency rising, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what else there is to say of the second act other than
it's pretty straightforward.
When it did first start, I was like, wait a minute, am I gonna like this? I mean, it was crazy. My mind was a little blown because I'm like,
there's so much different stuff constantly going on,
and just the style shift. It reminded me of Messenger, where it's like shifting back and forth between like different game like art styles.
We went from like a loose like 3D model, everything's 3D models, to like we are now very 2D, very 8-bit even. Like
it went from like Myst to whatever like what other games were like at that same time,
right?
Like Zelda,
Mario. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the second act? It was cool, the reveals.
The reveals were cool.
The people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of interesting lore that was kind of very like sneakily dumped in there. Like if you noticed one of the skeletons in the crypt area was named Casey Hobbs.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
And she died with an icicle spike to the head.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh.
Yeah.
There's some subtle storytelling here going on.
Damn.
Yeah, that's when I started like noticing that the game is more than what I thought it was trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
When they like were talking to you about things that happened in like the previous first portion of the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But I really liked it. I think the second part was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Just because I liked, and it's weird because I'm really not that big a fan of actual deck building because I never know how to like build strats and stuff, but I don't know, it just clicked for me with this game.
They gotcha.
Which is odd. I actually never built my deck. I always just let it autocomplete, and I would take out the cards that didn't work for me.
Yeah, that's actually how I finally beat the Bone Lord Lady, whatever she is.
Oh.
Where, like...
Yeah, I forgot. Grima?
Something.
It's not Grimora, but, like, it's something like that.
But
maybe it's Grimora?
I built my deck for the rest of the bosses, and then I was like, I kept losing over and over and over. I'm like, let's see what happens with the autofill, and then I won.
Yeah.
Thank you, game.
Thanks.
It's like surprisingly competent. Like it has a solid like ramping system where it doesn't just shove like random cards. It actually has like an idea of like what cards is putting into your deck.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, it's good for if that section is too difficult. At least it lets people get through it.
So. Right. Yeah. It's if you can't just mix one for you, and...
or if you don't want to, because like
if you don't want to deal with like building a strategy, because that's just mind numbing sometimes.
Right. So like because like at the point at the beginning of Act Two, like. You're given an option between four decks, and at that point you really don't know because you said you went like Bone and Blood, right?
Yeah,
like
I was like, I know this, I will do this instead.
Yeah, I almost kind of wish I went that way as well, because at the beginning you don't have access to the technology or the magic side. You can only fight either the like Leshy again, or you can fight Grimora, which means like you'll like when you go to those areas you'll get those cards to bolster your deck. So it's like. That almost seems like that would have been the play, is to pick one of those decks and like build it off of that to begin with, and then if you wanted to branch out to the other mechanics, like that was your time was to do that then when you got to those areas, not instead of from the get go. Because I picked magic at first, and I was like, oh, this seems interesting, and then
bit of a slower start.
It was a bit of a slower start because like I was like, oh, I don't have enough cards to build like a deck that makes sense, and. We're just gonna rock it, like, and like it was a very minor inconvenience. It wasn't like, show stopping. Like,
it's good that they let you do that, so it's not just you're stuck in a comfort thing, and then they just like do it because no one would do the other styles.
Exactly,
everyone would be like me. so after the second act, it returns to Luke Carter, where the game ends.
Well. And the end of the second act is also pretty kind of nuts because it's also very meta and like very like the game it's the ghost and the machine stuff comes again.
It's all the code stuff, right? Like it awakens itself,
right? So like
tries to delete.
So like the four wardens kind of like make like a like they're like huh you know like it's kind of weird like we can tell that PO3 is going through like a bit of a power grab, but it's a bit more than like the usual power grab than like than what we're used to.
And you replace one of them too,
right? So, yeah, because the whole point of the game was like you defeat the four lords and then you replace one of them, and you get to choose it at the end. But the whole reveal is that no matter what you choose, the robot takes over. PO3 takes over. Yeah. Who did you guys choose before you knew this?
The Bone Lady.
Yeah, I chose the Bone Lady.
Me too.
She seemed like really.
She wanted it. She was like ready for it, and I was like, okay, that's cool. Like,
oh wait, no, actually. I chose Leshy. I chose to kill him because I thought he was bad in the first one. So I was like, "Well, here's my chance to off him now."
Get revenge. Yeah. But then, PO3 takes control.
Yeah.
And then we see. Is that when we see more of the footage? Like, it returns back to the video camera.
Yeah. I want to say somewhere even in between Act Two, there's more footage. There's another quick footage drop.
You're right. And that's when you see that Carter's trying to like discover the source of this. Floppy disk.
Yeah,
he like contacts that
game Funa. I want to say that's when he calls like the Casey Hobbs's mom, where he got the garage
sale. She got killed.
because he got these like packs of inscription from a garage sale. And he felt bad because like apparently they're really rare and they're really expensive. And he's like. I feel bad for this lady. Like, I more or less scammed her because she didn't know what she was putting out for her garage sale for $2.
Very real.
Yeah, very real thing, by the way. And that's how we find out that Casey Hobbs died. If this is the time. No, I think the person
stopped by his house and, like, kind of threatened him.
Yeah, I think that's the second chunk, because this is when he calls and they, like, tell him to, like, destroy it.
Right, but it has that moment where he's, like, laying in bed and you can hear people, like, moving around his house and stuff.
That was so scary.
And then the next one has, like, all of the static and stuff, and then it cuts to him with, like, the loud buzzing noise with, like, him, like, reaching for the paper that has the cipher on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that stuff gets me, dude. I got goosebumps right now talking about it.
Is that also where he's like laughing while he's like, or is that the second?
Oh, yeah, that's the second
one. Yeah, he's like going insane.
He's losing his mind with the scale. Yeah, I'm like, oof.
That was crazy.
That's a good touch.
But yeah, so then the second chunk, he gets. This is the one moment where the acting got a little cringy for me, where the woman visits him.
Yeah,
and she's supposed to be like Game Funa, like assassin.
Yeah,
but she's just dressed like a normal,
normal person with sunglasses.
Like, subtly like threatens him.
Yeah.
Well, here's my card. If you have any more information, it's like.
But all right. He was still great. The actor was good.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, and then the scale video was so crazy. Just like
because it just showed him how he was like just in the depths of insanity.
And then I remember, Zach, you said this too, where when they showed that video that you mentioned where it shows the cipher, I'm like, am I going to need this? So I took a picture of it on my phone.
Turns out you did.
I did if kinda. I wanted to do something a crazy. Lot more work.
Yeah.
But that was cool that they put that in there. Or he did. The world's getting a little scarier.
Yeah, like you can tell something is very wrong at this point, but you just have no choice but to keep on playing. Yeah. Like
the game, like starts talking about like the old data and how like cursed it is. I'm like, what the hell is this talking about?
Right.
And I'm so in the game at this point. Like, this is where I was like, I can't stop.
Yeah,
I just kept coming back. And
honestly, some of my favorite parts were when you're playing the game and it like quickly like just kind of like almost like fades to like the CRT lines and you hear Luke Carter just like saying something like you
like, you'll lose a boss fight in PO3 and you'll just hear him go, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like a boss mechanic starts and like wipes your deck and he's like, what the
yeah.
So good.
So yeah, like you go into game 3, like you go into act 3, PO3 takes over everything. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's very much like how Act 1 was. We're back to the 3D models and the really gritty and, like very spooky atmosphere. But now we're in, like, the laboratory computer setting.
Yeah, and it's the same laboratory
from Act 2.
I was remembering the geography of it.
Yep.
I'm like, wait, like I was, like, exploring
the conveyor belts and all that.
Yeah, the little bridges. And
yep.
That was such a nice...
Very nice touch. Very, very good detail. Mm-hmm.
And this was my favorite part of the game, just because of how meta it got. Like my mind at this point was getting consistently.
Oh blown. Yeah, I mean this was definitely like the coolest part with all the bosses and
like,
stuff.
And the card fight in this was really fun too. Like I kind of want like a Casey's mod for this as well because I like the growing like mana pool and everything.
Yep.
So
I agree.
But like the boss fights were so cool in this, and it becomes more just like a linear progression rather than like a roguelite from Leshy's thing.
Yeah.
Almost like an RPG, almost.
Mm-hmm. Like a genuine RPG. Yeah. Like one of my favorite memories was getting one of the power-ups. Mm-hmm. I think it was the power-up that gave it one additional attack, but if it died, like the card was actually just like destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know what to put this on. Like, I feel like I want to put it on. Like, I want to put it on a card that's good, but like if it's lost from my deck forever, like I'm not gonna like cry about it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not gonna like be like, oh no, like my ace in the hole, mm-hmm. or my ace in the
you know. Ace in the sleeve.
And so I chose one of the the robot skeletons.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool, like because like it's free, like I get 3 damage off the board immediately.
But then it dies immediately.
But it died immediately.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
it's just gone.
Oh, yeah. And then like Luke Carter chimes, just like, ah, fuck. And I'm just like,
same. You both felt at the same time.
Like for me, I was like, oh yeah, that was stupid. But like because like and like, that's kind of what it was. It was like I chose the card right. Mm-hmm. Because I did get some impact out of it, and it went and like it was erased forever. But like it wasn't a key component to my deck. That but that moment really made me laugh.
Yeah,
like that was one of my top moments of that game right there.
I liked the bosses with there was the one that like
the internet
to
boss.
The internet boss that was cool. Yeah. You started fighting your like your Steam friends.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is what the internet is, huh? Oh, okay.
Yeah, weird.
I was very concerned. Where I was like, I'm connecting now. I found the internet. I'm gonna pull some images up from the internet. I'm like, wait, what are you doing?
So that was like, I read like a very like nonsensical article about like the ethical implications of this act, because I think we talked about this briefly because one of the bosses asks for access to your hard drive,
right? The archive
your files and stuff.
Yeah, and like it gives you the option yes or no, but if you hover over no, it actually says yes, and it grants access to it regardless. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do anything malicious. Mm-hmm. It says it will,
But yeah, the game, they know that they're not just going to delete stuff.
Right. Like,
puts like a little proxy that it'll delete.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. So like one of the mechanics is like you choose a file that's like, first you choose a file that's big and that goes on the scale to like how you're going to win. But I'm pretty sure that like that's just like for show. I'm pretty sure the scale doesn't matter at that point. Cause I chose like a 90 gig file.
Yeah.
Like I chose like one of the like the VHS tapes that I that I upscaled to 1080 for like 3 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a very huge file.
Yeah, I chose like movies and they were all like 10 gigs. I'm like, this, it was just a huge, but I loved how it was just a huge chunk. Yeah. Like, ooh, this is a big, like, oh,
this
wow,
is a massive file. It's like,
like that whole sequence was just so fun because I love when it was like you had to like dig through your own directory to find stuff. And I'm like, oh, I have to look through all my hard drives. Like when you're looking for the oldest file,
yeah,
I have like files from like 2010 on my computer.
Yeah,
but it only read it as like 2015. Like it couldn't get that old.
Oh really? Yeah. So that was my issue, is that like I couldn't do that part well. Like I ended up getting like a 1-1 for like I think like no cost or something like that because I just recently wiped my computer to install Windows 11, and I was just like, my oldest file is from like 6 months ago. And she's like, what is this baby file? I'm like, listen, lady. Like, and of course, like in retrospect, like I could have, like I did have some files that I carried over from like previous, you know, from my previous computer life. And I could have used those, but I just didn't think about it.
Yeah. But yeah, there was the moment in my head where I was like, the file could get deleted. I'm like, what if I put like System32 into this game?
That's what I did. Yeah. I chose a system file for mine. I'm like, screw it.
Do it.
Yeah. If it's going to delete my whole computer, that'd be hilarious.
just immediately shuts down.
Just destroys the hard drive.
But, and that's the cool part, is that like, while it does access, like give access to those parts of the computer, and it says it's going to delete it, it never actually deletes it. If the card does die, we find out later, either through like a little bit of research, or if you do it yourself, that it just puts a text file there that just says, I don't have permission to do this. Please delete this yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's all right. That's cute. And you get an achievement for if you actually do delete it, which, you know, don't delete System 32.
Please don't.
Or do. It's funny. Go for it, I guess. It's not.
It's a good life. The internet boss where you get to send your little robots or your little cards to people.
Yeah.
Did you guys make good cards or meme cards?
I made good cards.
I made good cards. Insanely good cards.
Yeah.
I made like
zero cost 3-1 flyer.
Yeah, I made zero cost like 2-1 death touch because that's what won me earlier. I'm like, surely this will do good. But then I got meme cards. Like when you receive cards on the internet, I don't know if it was literally from somebody or just the game gave you one, but I got really bad cards.
Well, no, so if you connect to the internet and you don't get a card, you get you do get a card from the game.
Okay.
It's just like Mummy Lord, and it's like a 3/3 for 2 or something like that. It's actually not very good at all.
Right.
I made a really good card. It was a free 1/1 that when it entered the battlefield, it ramped up your mana.
Mm-hmm.
It had death touch. It had crumble.
Oh my god!
And and it had undying.
Nice.
So
it keeps coming back.
So it was a free card that always ramped up your mana, always had death touch, always died, and always went back to your hand afterwards. Mm-hmm. So you're
that's
just
really good.
I named mine Little Helper Boy.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but yeah, mine was. Yeah, mine was something like that too. I love the naming mechanic.
Mine was just that good boy.
Yeah,
good one.
So good.
Yeah, it gets like humorous at that point. It's just a very funny game.
And I think that's like the cool part about that is that like it doesn't really connect to the internet. They're just stock images that they pull that they use for those.
Yeah.
That I'm pretty sure they are just in the game file. Mm-hmm. And the only other game like internet thing that it uses is probably the way just to send the card to maybe some remote server, maybe, I don't know, but the only other time it uses the internet is to pull your Steam friends images and names, which any game on Steam has access to.
That's true.
There's no ethical
issue
with that.
It's not that problematic. It is cool that they
did that.
They did all that.
Very cool way to implement Steam friends and stuff.
And I loved how overpowered you get in this last act because your mana providers, the things that just take up the space,
they keep upgrading them.
Yeah, they I gave them spikes, and every time they came in, they gave me more mana, and then they would it was so good. So satisfying.
Yeah, because every time you beat a boss, you got the option to, but because they weren't really mana providers, they were just kind of 0/1 things to block, to chump block if you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But you could give them insane value every time you beat a boss. And yeah, very cool.
Did you do what I didn't do as many of like the off the table puzzles as I did in the Leshy sequence? I'm sure there were more, but I didn't finish the little like box puzzle where like the attack strength.
I finished the box puzzle. I didn't get all of the rabbit skins for the which I kind of did because
either. I didn't know where they all were. I got like three of them.
I got two, and I was just like, I'm lost.
Was there another clock puzzle? Because the clock was
there. Was
there? Okay, yeah. I didn't figure that one out.
That one, to solve that one, you had to go to, I think it was like the magic equivalent. So like, I don't know if you recognized it, but like Act 3 is just Act 2 over again. Mm-hmm. like the exact same like map layout.
Yeah.
And like all of the different areas, like mm-hmm. all the different like bosses are inspired by mm-hmm. their yeah,
because the middle is where all the gravestones were. Yeah, the beam of light.
Yep. Yeah. If you went to I think the magic areas place, there's like a basement that you can go down to where you can spend money, mm-hmm. and one of the things is like you're not quite sure what it is, and if you afford it, it leaves like a blood splatter that says 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and see, I saw that, and I'm like, I don't want to buy this. I don't have money.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It leaves a blood splatter that says 4 o'clock. If you put 4 o'clock on the clock, it gives you the Ouroboros spot.
Oh,
which do you remember the Ouroboros from the?
Yeah,
I think so.
Which it's just like a 1-1 for
every
like
every time it died, it like
it just comes got back to your hand.
More powerful.
Or oh yeah, like, it either like it didn't die or it just went back to your hand or something like that.
Okay,
so it really honestly wasn't that great of a card. Did you notice? I don't like Area 3 had a lot of like did you notice kind of moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me some examples.
So.
I might have, but I just can't off the top of my head.
When you're doing the like the internet fight and you're making those little you're making the dudes, if you got up from the table and went just to just behind and to the left of PO3, you actually got to see the card that you made.
Yeah, oh, it was that little printer thing.
Yeah,
nice. Okay.
If you went. If you went into like his little like his chambers, like really like the. Like the conveyor belt area, you can see the robot that takes the that takes your picture.
Oh,
okay. It, and you can interact with it. If you smack it, it takes the picture.
I saw that, yeah.
Did you see that it revealed the door?
No,
it revealed Leshy's door that was hiding the new game card.
Oh, what? Jeez.
Yeah,
I gotta play through it again. I'm gonna play through
it. And like, did you see like remember like the goo man?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see him through the pipes?
Yeah, he's like stuck in the pipe.
Back.
Yeah.
I liked Goo Man.
Didn't deserve that.
He's a good Goo Man.
He was just in pain always.
But, okay, so you defeat PO3, and he starts to delete...
The game.
No, so...
All right, well, yeah.
So, like, from what I remember, you play PO3's game, and... What he was trying to do was
upload inscriptions to the internet.
So yeah. That's the whole thing. The whole the ARG and the whole story of this
is
PO3 is spreading inscription, all the old data, all the bad stuff about inscription that's hidden beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
He's uploading that. So he uploaded it the same day that it went to Steam.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like 10/17 of 2021 was the day that PO3 uploaded an inscription to Steam.
God, I love that.
Which is like awesome. Incredibly meta.
Yeah, this is the way that we are playing it. This is how we got access to it on Steam.
Yep.
Which just loops forever.
Now it's like all over the world.
Now it literally has like hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of copies of Inscription sold, which is like, ooh.
So then what happens? What causes the deletion? I don't know why.
The deletion is, so after Leshy kills PO3's robot body, Grimora and the other guy. I can't remember the magic man's name.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if you would learn his name, to be honest.
Yeah,
that part was cool, though, where you start playing like their versions of the card game.
Yeah,
yeah. So good.
Yeah, that last sequence. But yeah, so
yeah, Grimora finds like finds something, and she just hits delete.
Yeah,
like she hits the delete button on like the entire game. Mm-hmm. Oh no, she sees that PO3 had access to our hard drives.
Right. Oh yeah.
And she's like, oh, the Argus, all this data. Wow, wait, hold on, look at this. Boop, and she like initiates deletion of all of the games.
So you just you see like this deleting bar like this whole time,
and going through all the assets and stuff. Yeah, very, very cool to watch that happen in real time.
And then that final sequence where it goes through each of the like
all the lords,
and the
her version was really cool.
Yeah, I loved her version.
Leshy's version was like really like sad almost.
Honestly, that part was like what made me like Leshy so much was just like
just wants to play the game.
He wants to have a fun.
Yeah, he just liked playing the game for the sake of it. Like, it was almost really interesting how like each lord kind of represented like the different like archetypes of like play of like card players, like I don't remember if you remember like in Magic, like it's very like popular where it's like
Spike and
there's Spikes, Timmies, Johnnies, where like Timmy is like the one is the guy that just wants to play the big monsters and be like yay. Spike is like the PO3 who just plays everything like as efficiently as possible. Everything is about value and only about winning,
right?
Johnny was like the guy who just wants to combo off, which to me that kind of felt like the the Magic guy's representation almost. And Grimora was just like her own thing, like she was almost like the bystander, like she's just here because she has to be, and she doesn't want to be here anymore.
But I liked the chess movement of that, and like the art style of it was so creepy.
It was very nice.
And then
the Magic dudes was really interesting. It was like 3D, like that reminded me of
Yu-Gi-Oh. It was Yu-Gi-Oh. You actually got a dual disc.
Yeah, the arm plate with all the cards on it, and you actually see like the figures
like rise up like holograms. Yeah, and they actually had like animations and they fought. I was like,
it's like, was this the original game that you wanted to make?
And then he realized it was too ambitious, and he's like, well, we can still use all these assets, and we can still make a really cool ending out of it.
I loved with Leshy's when you're like playing and things get deleted while you're playing. He's like,
just keep playing.
Like, just one more round, and then you like the little button goes away, and he's like, oh well, I mean, we could make this work.
The bell disappears. He's like, that complicates things.
And then when the scale deletes, he's like, we'll just do this forever. It's fine. And you just keep playing more rounds.
Yeah, and you're just throwing things down. Like, everyone's attacking, and everyone's like no one's really dying, which is like a really sad but kind of like, it was a very touching moment where it's like, this guy just wanted to play the game, and he respected you.
Like that was his programming. He just wanted to be the game.
Yeah.
And then,
calling it programming is almost like, I don't know, like he felt like his own character to me.
And just like the Yu-Gi-Oh sequence where like you have so much health and you're just chipping away,
right?
And like 3,000 health. I'm like, wait, am I gonna play this whole thing?
All the assets start deleting, and then the numbers of the health start deleting.
It was
genius.
It was really cool because like once things start going off the rails, you see like the different assets in the background like falling like through the abyss. Like you see like the pliers from like from like Leshy's cabin like falling through the ground. Like ooh. Spooky. Like, I love when when the game is deleting and like it's like going insane and like the 3D camera like doesn't know what to do, so it just like pans around the camera. You just see that like, you're just an arm holding up an arm, like
just the really funny whenever you move a camera outside of first person view.
Yeah,
it was just shows this really weird,
break the boundaries of the game.
Yeah,
you are not an actual like body. You're just like
chunks
of something.
You're just a camera with two hands.
Yeah, and then the game deletes itself. Or so we think. And then we see one final video of Luke Carter getting murdered.
Just gets gunned down by a game Funa.
It's like everything is going insane, and like, well, everything gets deleted except for the old data, which then begins accessing itself.
Right.
And like you see like all the different like redacted stuff flying up on the screen. You see like Secretary of Defense with like eyes black barred out, and it's like, ooh, what? Yeah, and then he takes like the thing out of the drive and starts smashing it with a hammer. It's like, I'm done watching this. This is messed up.
And then he gets a knock at his door, which in that case, just don't open the door, Luke.
Yeah,
honestly, like, because he was.
And what did he say too? He's like, if I die from this, know that it was from Game Funa or something
that. Well, yeah, that's when he was like in bed and he was hearing all like the movement going around. He was on the phone with like someone from like some kind of like media, like newspaper source or something like that. And he was like trying to like give like an insider report on what the heck was going on here. And, And like and he hears knocking at the door, and he's like, and he like opens the door, like, I thought I told you. And then he just fucking pulls the trigger out of him, murks him
to the head.
I was like, oh, okay.
Just imagine the guy on the other side of that phone. He's like, that sounds weird.
Well, yeah,
not like, gonna follow up on this.
You hear him in the background. He's like, hello, Luke, are you there? Hello,
I heard about like shot. He got shot in the head.
It sounds like murder just took place. I guess we'll reschedule. And then, that's the game.
But yeah.
And I love how the game just, like, crashes itself.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it doesn't actually end. It just...
The game actually just closes.
Yeah, it doesn't return to a menu. Just crashes to dust.
I was like, that's so cool.
That's a good touch.
And then, so yeah, that's Inscription. We kind of just stepped through
it. Yeah, that was the game. But what about the alternate game?
Yeah, and then there's the ARG, which there's a, I guess I'll put the link like in the description of this.
Yeah, it's a lot to explain. But
yeah,
there's a very, very good like hour long video of this guy explaining.
He did a really good job of that too.
Well, keeping it pretty entertaining too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a monotone dude like, no, here is the secret. Yeah.
So
no.
He was explaining the ARG that happened with this game, like outside of it, inside the game files. Daniel Mullins like hit all these secrets, and upon release, the people that played the game, they made this Discord for it of like deciphering all these codes and taking every little bit of information that might mean something and like smashing it against something else, like
to see if it fit, if the circle actually fit inside the square.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's insane, like the level of detail, the depth he went to, like how he brought back old ideas of old games, or like updated an old game to put like a secret file
for like
this
hit
game.
Something in some other game that's like not even affiliated with him on Steam.
That weird like that weird fishing game. I was like,
that was insane.
What?
So it's got to be so fun to do that, where you just leave this breadcrumb trail to like for other people to follow, like to dig into these games, and like it must be like so satisfying to like have this,
figure it out.
Yeah, have this backlog, this repertoire of stuff, and then like even just like Imgur files and random like URLs that were set up, just like
those weird like that weird like website he made where he sent people like actual floppy disks.
Yeah, that weird
and
like
stuff.
Russian site where they sent the floppy disks to people, like only three people though, and like only like one person actually found it, and then who knows what happened to the other two floppy disks.
No, one person got one, and the other three just got theirs like later or something like that. Because like what it was like, it was a message in the three parts that like when you put all three together, it just said thank you for playing Inscription.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, just so many layers of codes, and then like people actually went to the coordinates that were in the game and met
Daniel Mullins and the actor for Luke.
Yeah, that's so cool. And yeah, it was just a fascinating like layer to it, because it also just tells one final like the true ending, like the equivalent for Death's Door, where when you do all that extra stuff at the end, it actually shows the true ending, quote unquote. This one is the true ending, but just outside the game, which explains how Inscription got on the internet, because the stoat was still alive.
Yeah, like I guess like the like he must have made like a copy of like him, of his personality or something, like it like on Luke's actual like hard drive, because like the YouTube video shows him like shows the upload resuming, and then you the stoat's on the screen and
he
just winks.
Just like, yeah, what up?
Yeah, it's so cool. It's just a cool treasure hunt to lead all to this. All of it leads to this YouTube link.
Yeah,
and then
That's kind of crazy when you think about it. Like all of this, so much stuff, like years upon years of planning and work, just leads up to a YouTube video.
So fun, and like you said, like I would never be able to even like partake in the ARG for the next game. But it would be cool to be there while
just
it's happening.
Watch.
Yeah,
it
just
unfold.
To see it. Yeah, just to see them figure it out and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, that's
like all that the Bone Lord stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, that's creepy too. Like that would start to
like actual like, devil in the disc kind of stuff. Yeah.
And like when it crashes and it shows like something for like a flash
for an actual one frame. Yeah,
so you'd have to have some kind of recording software to even capture that, or just try it every single time. But,
yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, that's it. I think. Any other thoughts?
I think we covered the whole thing. Yeah. It's just an amazing game that broke a lot of boundaries and was one of the coolest ways to tell a story that I've ever played.
Through
honestly.
Playing cards.
Yeah. Playing through a card game.
Who would have thought?
Of of anything.
Like, when I first heard of the game, because people said, don't look anything into it, but I saw, some footage, and it reminded me of, what was that card game where it's a guy's literally sitting in front of you, and then it goes to, like, Arkham-style combat?
It's called Hand of Fate.
Yes. We just remembered. That is Hand of Fate.
Just remember.
But yeah, it was like the same art style, or not the same, but similar, because it's like the camera angle. There's a guy sitting.
He's telling a story in front of you while you're like going through the board, and
And then when you fight creatures, it turns into like a brawler. So I saw that. I'm like, is this gonna be cool? I guess maybe I'll try it, because I wasn't really a big fan of Hand of Fate, and then it completely blew me away. Just the presentation and the storytelling and how the story started to unfold and unfurl. It was.
Before I started playing, I knew that the game like wasn't just one card game. Like I knew from like people talking about it that it turned into something else, but I did not expect this level of craziness. Right. So it was awesome.
And then even then, it's just fun. Every single sequence was fun, even if you're not really for the meta
stuff. It has the Casey's mod where you just constantly just play through the first portion of the game.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, I think they did add, like, they added some of the cards that weren't there from the first time, I want to say.
I think so.
Yeah. They added a bit more to it than just like a, oh, like we added an endless mod, basically. Mm. But still, it's nice.
And there we go. Inscription, a very, very good... surprise. Cool.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Never have known.
So good.
Now this guy's on our radar. We're going to check out whatever
he's
doing. Pretty much.
Thanks, Devolver, for bringing to light all these crazy games.
Another good game.
Well, that concludes our discussion for the Schlub Club.
Book's closed on that one.
The book.
Nice.
The game has crashed on that one.
And so now, for February, even though it's already been a week, but we've decided that our game of this month is Nobody Saves the World by Juice Box Games, the guys that made Guacamelee and Guacamelee 2. Surprise. It's a cool ARPG that I've been playing. I'm having a good time with it, and I would like to discuss it with everybody. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm playing a little bit of it, too. It's really fun. Super cool.
It's yeah.
I'll be purchasing it soon, I'm sure.
Yeah. Just in keeping in line with our love for indie games so far. We'll see how many games this year for each month will be AAA or indie.
We play Dying Light next month?
Oh, God.
I don't think we'd have enough time.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works.
But yeah, so if anyone wants to play along at home, check out Nobody Saves the World, and we'll see you in a month. But yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty much it. We'll see you in a month, I guess, and then we'll probably have another episode. We're still figuring out the schedule, but
we're playing it by ear. Like if we're available that weekend, we're pretty much just recording if we're available. Yeah. Like that's how it is really most of the time.
There we go. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Very good game. Worth the price tag because it's like $15. Like
description,
not even on sale. Like
that's crazy.
If you see it on sale for like $7.50, absolutely 100% worth the time for it.
Where do you think the money goes to? Where do you think PO3 is putting the money?
He's probably uploading it into like some offshore.
I hope they do a DLC for the game. That'd be cool.
No, I'm pretty sure Daniel Mullen said he's ready to move on to his next venture.
He's done.
Which is a shame, but
yeah. But we'll see what else. He's very creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
probably wildly different.
He clearly updated like old games to. Yeah. You know, just to feed into Inscription. So who knows if he'll update Inscription again later on?
Yeah, true.
Just to serve a purpose into a future game.
That's true. Well, there we go. We'll see what else happens. But yeah, stay tuned for next month. Nobody Saves the World. We are Schlubcast.
Thank you for listening.
Check us out on the socials. There's the Gmail,
the Twitter.
Now we're on TikTok.
We do
dances while we're talking about games.
I hope not.
Well, you can watch our entire podcast in 5-second bits, but not in order.
We have 7,000 videos.
Our entire podcast in 5 seconds, but like it's just the entire podcast like shrunk up into 5 seconds.
Yeah, just sped up in 5 seconds.
It's just a shriek. Yeah. Yep, and there it is. Thank you. But yeah, we'll see you guys.
With a cat's meow just kind of overlaid.
My cat's screaming in the distance. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Keep on gaming, gamers.
And I formally announce a resignation.
Mike just left. He's walking.